Today's shiur will be beginning with the lower part of Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis in Maseches Bava Basra. The topic that we're involved with at this point is the issue of I Chayshinan Lezilusa De Beidina. Do our halachic decisions take into consideration the appearance that Beis Din will have, on a legal appearance that they will have in the eyes of the public? In the Gemara that we had learned last time, we saw that Rav Nachman took the original opinion, I'm not choshish for zilusa de beidina, and if it's a matter of our paskening ruling that a fellow can occupy a field and then we take him out of the field, and then we tell him he has to leave, even though it based in looks like a yo-yo, one day yes, next day no, that doesn't bother Rav Nachman. However, Rav Nachman was confronted by Rova, who presented Kasha from a source, and upon hearing this, Rav Nachman gave us the impression that he is backing off his opinion, and yes, he should be choshish for the Zilusa de Beidina. And then we saw Rav Nachman go out and actually paskin, like he originally said, not choshish for Zilusa de Beidina, and anyone who saw Rav Nachman's behavior might have thought he's either making a mistake or something else happened. And the Gemara then says, no, Rav Nachman has good reason for holding what he holds, namely, not to be choshish for zilus de beidina. And that was the last remark we saw in the previous shir, was Ela mishum de talya ba'ashli ravavi. Rav Nachman is supported, has as his basis great sources, great figures, and we're going to see in the coming Gemara that those great rabbis upon whom he is depending include Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. They are all of the opinion that you're not choshish for zilusa de beidina. In order to see this, though, the Gemara presents what we call a long point, starting here on the lower part of Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. You notice between the Gemara and the Tosfos a nun standing for Nakuda, point, and a vertical broken line down more than halfway, Lamed Beis Amid Aleph. Until we get to that point, we won't see exactly upon whom he's relying. When we get to that point, the Gemara will say, and we can read it now if you want to scroll over to Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, or glance over to the page. The Gemara says, Elomar of Ashi, de Kule Alma, all of the rabbis that will have been discussed till that point hold Loi Chayshinan Lezilusa de Beidina. That will be the support for Rav Nachman. And then the Gemara will ask, well, if that be the case that all the rabbis agree on that point, so what was their controversy, which we haven't learned yet? And the Gemara will discuss that at that point. Before we begin the Gemara inside the text, let's take a look at our note that we've written on the outside of the margin. Tatnose, this is a subcategory, topic. And as we wrote there, Lahasbir machlokis tanoim b'inyan haloas koyen acharei shepikbeku b'kashruso. So machlokis, a tanaic controversy concerning raising a koyen to his kosher, to a kosher status after a matter of doubt arose. Al pi eid echad, can we rely on the testimony of one witness? As the Gemara goes on, we're going to see that we're not really dealing with a case of pure one witness testimony, but at first glance, that's what appears. You'll notice this double underline marking that appears two lines from the bottom. This marking is a series marking, as all the different geometric forms in the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition has. They are shlovim, we've written on the side, shlovim, stages, behezber machlokas atanoim. We're going to see a Tanaic source, as you can see in your Gemara text, there's several lines in a frame. In this edition of the Gemara, in the pre-marked Gemaras, the frame surrounds Tanaic sources. We will see what appears to be a controversy, a machloikas. What are they arguing about? So that's what the double underline suggests. Stage one is here. Maybe it means this. It'll be rejected. On the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, you'll notice again a double underline. That's stage two. And then finally, we'll get to the point at which the Gemara presents Rav Ashi. That'll be the third stage. The Gemara continues inside. Now, Disnan. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ein Marlin Lekuhuna Al Pi Eid Echad. We don't allow a Kohen to achieve full Kohen status in the eyes of the law if you have the testimony only of one witness. Omar Rebbe Elazar. The Rashbam points out that Rebbe Elazar is not coming to argue, he's coming to explain Rav Yehuda. He says, Amosai, when is it that we don't rely on the singular witness? Bizman Shiesh Olav Urin. That's when there are challengers to his kosher status, to the Kohen's kosher status. Avol, Ein Olav Urin, if there aren't any challengers to his kosher status, Marilin Likahuna Al Pi Eid Echad. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbon Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Hasgan, Marilin Likahuna Al Pi Eid Echad. At first glance, especially using the marking system, you notice the dashed underline appears twice. In both cases, it says Ma'alin Likuna Pi'ed Echad. Are we going to suggest that there's no machlokas in the source? You wouldn't have multiple names presented in the source if there's no machlokas, unless one is coming explicitly to explain a previous one. But that's not the case when you're looking at Reb Shimon Gamliel and the ones that preceded him. The Gemara asks, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Hainu Reb Elazar, are they saying the same thing? Which is obviously not. They can't be saying the same thing. V'chitema, and if you would suggest the following, the Gemara, when it uses these expressions, v'chitema or emo, nemo, these are expressions that will be, the suggestions therein will be rejected. But so it's saying, do you think maybe the following is a machlokas? And we'll say later, no. V'chi tema ar or chad ika binayu. Do we believe challengers who are single, individuals, one person who comes to challenge, that would be the point of difference between them? Rebbe Elazar Sovar ar or chad. That a challenger, in this case challenging the kashrus, challenging his acceptability as being a kohen, can be challenged by one. Rav Shimon Gamliel Sovar Aror Trey. Well, that can't be the machlokas. The Rav Shimon Gamliel, maybe he holds that the Aror challenge is done by two and not less than two. But that can't be. V'homar Rabbi Yochanan and Divrei Hakol Ein Aror Pochos Mishnayim. Everyone agrees that when you have voices out there questioning, challenging the kashrus, that can't be accomplished. You can't have someone coming and challenge kashrus unless there are two or more that are questioning. Before we go on, let's take a look at the Rashbam, the lower part of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The second to last line, we had said, Aror chad iko binayu. V'hadi katoni bizman shiesh olav urin. We said, when is it that we don't rely on the singular witness? That's when they're urin. Hainu, eid echad ha-poislo u-makhish eid echad ha-makhshiro. That's when you'd have one who's saying he's not kosher and one who's saying he is. The Rebbe Elazar Sovar aror chad, have aror, that... And this was in our Havamina, that the challenging of one is considered a full-fledged challenge. V'ein echad ne'emon olav lachshiru. And a singular witness coming to machshir, coming to say he's legitimate, would not be sufficient. But we rejected this approach anyway. We rejected saying that when you're dealing with people coming to challenge kashrus of whatever's in question, in this case, the kohen, you can't have the challengers unless they're two. Continuing in the Gemara, Ela, Aror, Trey. Everyone agrees that when you're dealing with this challenge to the kashrus of an individual, there would have to be two that are saying, we have our doubts about his kashrus. The hocha b'mayaskinan. What's the case involving our kohen in the Tanaic source that we saw in Lamed Aleph on the base at the bottom? Kegoin demachsekinon le be'avua dehai the kohen hu. We know that the father of the person in question was a kohen, was a regular kohen. Venofak ole kola, and there came forth rumors, voices, literally, people talking that the child of the kohen, de ben grusha u ben chalutzahu. The father, though he was a kosher kohen, if he married a divorced lady, for example, or a chalutza, the child is not kosher for the kuna. He's called a chalom. And when those murmurings started being issued, the kol, the Gemara says, ve'achtine, we removed him, we lowered him from his kohen status, from this son. We lowered him from his kohen status. What we must emphasize is a point made in the Rashbam on the third line from the top, which says there are nafakale kolo kol ba'alma velo edus. The murmurings here were not formal testimony. It was just voices, rumors. It's called a kol. But it was a kol, so we got a little the basin became a little concerned, and so you know what? Let's not give this fellow truma for the time being. Let's not let him do birkas kehanim duchen for the tzibur in the meantime. Okay, the story goes on. So they were murmurings. V'asa eid echad v'omar dekoyin gomorhu v'askine. And then a singular witness came, and being that murmurings are not formal edus, a singular witness is enough to mevatel, to void the murmurings. So one witness came saying he's kosher, so we raised him up. We raised him to his kohen status. V'osu beitrei v'amri. Two witnesses came. This is no longer koil. And it's of critical importance to realize that as far as legal procedure is concerned, it's only at this point that real legal procedure starts. The issue of the murmurings that preceded this were more of communal concern, but not true legal matters. So we saw, the basin took precautionary measures when they lowered him from his status when the murmurings came out. But those were precautionary measures. They weren't a real legal finality. However, at this point, when two witnesses come and render him unacceptable, this is a real legal act. And this is where we become very interested. The Gemara continues. After saying that the two came and said he was a ben grusha ben chalutza ve'achtine, and we lowered him. We've dashed underlined this lowering because this is going to be the first and main legal point. V'osa eid echad v'yomar dekoyenhu, and then a singular witness testified that he's kosher. The Gemara presents one more presumption before we can apply this discussion to our sugya. U de kule alma, everyone will agree, all tanoim would agree, and that's what we feel right now. Mitstarfin edus, that when it comes to testimony, you can join up one and one, even though they didn't testify together. Nevertheless, they both said the same thing. You can, so 1 + 1 = 2. If that be the case, then we have two witnesses saying that he's kosher, in addition to the two that said he's pasul. So what's the controversy? What's the machlokis tanoim? V'hocha b'meichash lezilusa de beidino komiflegi. this is the point of controversy. Are we choshesh for the honor of Beis Din? The appearance that Beis Din may give as being yo-yos. Rebbe Lozer Sovar, Kevon de Achtine, since we lowered him, and I'm emphasizing again what we said before, this lowering is what we have dashed underlined before. It was the lowering through the challenge of the two witnesses. We lowered him at that point. Lo maskino le. Sorry, we can't raise him up anymore. When the second singular witness showed up, even though we really had two witnesses koshering him, we cannot raise him up anymore. Why not? Chayshinon lezilusa de beidina. Because if we were to put him up again, after they lowered him, it would create an image that Beis Din is a wavering type of institution. They can't come to conclusions and stick with them. And therefore, we have to take this extraordinary measure and be choshish for their honor. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Savar, Anan Achtine, we lowered him. V'anan maskinon le, and we can raise him. Ulezilusa de beidino lo chayshinon. As far as the issue of honor of Beis Din, that's not going to preoccupy us. We're not going to be choshish for that. The Gemara continues. Maskiflo Rav Ashi. I hochi. If the machloikas tanoim that's being presented here surrounds the issue of chashash lezilusa de beidina, my ir yochad, why did you speak about a singular witness coming at the end? Afilu betray nami. Even if two witnesses saying he's kosher came at the end, after we lowered him, we wouldn't raise him up again. That would have been a bigger chiddush. Even if two come afterwards, there will be an opinion, namely the Rebbe Lozer would hold that we're choshish for zilzul Beis Din, but the source didn't present it thusly. Elo Omar Ravashi. This brings us to the third stage of the analysis of the Machlokas Tanoim, and also the critical stage for the long point that we're making. Elo Omar Ravashi, de kulei alma, loy chayshinon lezilusa de beidina. Everyone, even Rebbe Lozer, would agree that we're not concerning ourselves with the honor of Beis Din. Namely, everyone of these Tanoim, that includes Rabbi Yehuda and Rebbe Lozer, who came to explain him, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, would all agree that we're not choshesh for zilus de beidina, and that's what Rav Nachman said. And this is what the Gemara meant when it said on the previous omed, he's talia ba'ashli ravavi. He's dependent, his shita is based on great sources. So what is the machlokis at hand? This already is a technical issue. V'hocha biletzaref edus komifligi. The issue of joining up 1 plus 1, where the Gemara in stage 2 of its presentation said everyone agrees you do join 1 plus 1 to form a unit of testimony. In Torah law, the true unit of testimony are two witnesses. Do you say that if two came to testify separately that they join up? Well, that's the machlokis over here. Rebbe Lozer would take the opinion that they don't join up. He's the more restrictive opinion. And Rebbe Shimon Gamliel would take the opinion that they do join up. Ubeplukta dehani tanoi. The issue of 1 plus 1, do two individual witnesses who testified on separate occasions, do they join up to form a unit of two? This is the subject of a machlokas tanoim found elsewhere. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, and the beginning of the Tanaic source, the Rashbam points out, has no relevance to our sukya. Therefore, we're going to skip it on our first reading. The Brisa says, after the brackets, Ein eduson miskayemes bebeisdin ad she'idu shneim ke'echad. Two witnesses are not going to be accepted as testimony unless they testify together. Namely, one plus one does not equal two. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Shomin Vorab Shelze Hayoim, will listen to one fellow today, Uchshiavu Chaver Lamocher Shomin Vorab, and when the other fellow who's going to be saying the same thing comes tomorrow, we'll listen to him as well and join them up, and they form a unit of two, and we consider full-fledged testimony. The first part of the source, which we skipped, as we said, is not relevant to our sugya, deals with another aspect of testimony, and that's not the presentation of the testimony in Beis Din, but it regards the initial citing, the initial witnessing of the event. What is it necessary for the two witnesses to witness the event together, or is it sufficient if they see the event one after the other? And we'll read that inside, but bearing in mind that this is subject of discussion in other Gemaras. So the source began by saying the Olam Ein Eduson Mitzarefes Ad Shiyiru Shnehem Keechad. Their testimony doesn't form a unit of testimony unless they see the event together. The Rashbam says Ad Shiyiru Shnehem Keechad Eso Edus Laafuke Echad Oimer Befonai Hilveu. This would exclude a case where someone says, oh, I saw Reuven loan money to Shimon. Therefore, Shimon owes money. He received a loan from Reuven. The Echad Oimer Befonai Hoideloi Olov. And the second gentleman says, I heard Shimon admitted in my presence that he owes money to Reuven. So between the two of them, there's agreement that Shimon owes money. But they didn't see the loan together. Only one saw the actual loan. The second one heard Shimon admit that he owes the money. So according to the first opinion in this bracketed section, they wouldn't join up. Shimon would not be obligated to pay. The source goes on, Rabbi Shua ben Korcha Omer, Afilu Bozeh Achar Zeh. Even one after the other. In other words, even in that case, the two could join up. The Rashbam says on that point, Afilu Bozeh Achar Zeh, Echad Omer Biyom Rishon Lova Ploni Mi Ploni Mone. He gives you a different case, but the idea is going to be conveyed all the same. The idea of two that do not see the event together. So what's the case the Rashbam gives you? One witness says, I saw Reuven loan money to Shimon on Sunday. V'yechad oimer b'yom sheni ro'isiv. Gamani shelovo mimenu. I saw Reuven loan money to Shimon on Monday. The same amount. The mikom mokom amono ko misadi. They're both agreeing that there's $100 of loan, even though one might have said that it was separate loans. One was the Sunday loan was $100, the Monday loan's $100, it really owes $200. But nevertheless, there's agreement that $100 is owed. The Tanakama Sovar, Amona de Komisid Hai, Lo Komisid Hai, the Tanakama said they do not join up, says that the 100 that this one saw is not the 100 that the other one saw. Avilele Gabi Mona Chatzi Edus. And as far as the 100, there's only one witness on any given 100. That's Chatzi Edus, and not acceptable. And the Rashbam concludes telling you, V'tamayu meforish shapir b'sanhedrin mikro u'misfor maseches Sanhedrin. This is explained through, it's based on psukim and on logic, on sforas. The source continues, and we've explained this section already, Ein edusan miskayemes bebezin ad she'idu shneim ke'echad, that their testimony doesn't last, won't stand up in Beis unless they testify at the same time. This is not related to the Reisha. In other words, this opinion could hold that even though they saw the testimony together, that's not enough. They would still have to testify together. Rav Nosson Omer, Shomim Dvorov Shel Zeh Hayom, Uchshevu Chaver Lamochar Shomim Dvorov. We'll listen to each guy on separate days and allow them to join up. Continuing in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form that will draw us our attention to the note on the side where we attempt to give a little bit of an introduction to both topics and to the forms. When presenting the introduction to a form, we title the note on the side Mivneh, where we discuss the structure. These diamonds, we only see one here, but whenever a geometric form appears, there must be at least one more to legitimatize putting in a shape, because these shapes denote series or recurring events or things of a similar nature. The note on the side says that these diamonds, and as we said, there will be more on Amud Beis, and they continue to Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph as well. Havlotas Tchilas Mikrim. They accentuate the beginning of new cases. Sidra Shemam Shichad Lamed Heomid Beis. This diamond event, meaning the series that these diamonds form, continues all the way till Lamed He Omid Beis. So one has to bear in mind that the use of the diamonds will continue covering Gemoras that extend pretty far. Truth be told, the last actual diamond will be found on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. However, the case that is represented by the diamond on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, that particular case continues to Lamed Hei Amud Beis. At hand, we have a little Aleph as well that appears between the Gemara and the Rashi text. Aleph, and later you'll see Beis. Shnei mikrim elu domim. We have two incidents that are very similar. Havdeil b'neim hu, that the difference between them is that the Aleph, the first one, will be a shtar mechira. We'll talk about a document of sale. And the Beis, the second case, will be involving a loan. We've included here in parentheses that the Mokar Devorenu, the source for our comment, is the Rashbam on Amud Beis and Dibur HaMaschil Havli. The Rashbam on Amud Beis, in the middle of the Amud, he says, Kiplukto Deliel Uba'oisom Hata'omim. The Beis case is like the issue in the Aleph case, and presenting the same reasoning as well. You are seeing an example par excellence of a Rishon offering a commentary whose main thrust is structure. And it's based on this approach that you find in the Rishonim that emphasize from time to time issues of Gemara structure that gives us a basis for the entire marking system, a system of learning which emphasizes on the first round the Gemara structure. First round, we mean that when you initially learn a sukkah, you should learn it with that in mind, that there's a structure at hand, there's a broad picture, and that your learning should not be one of just translating individual words, combining words into line and line after line. Because if one learns like that, he's going to be missing a significant part of the dynamic of the Gemara structure. The Gemara now continues. Hahu de Omar lechavre. My boyis bahai ara. So one challenged his fellow who said, what are you doing on this land? Amale. So the occupier announced, responded, Minoch zavinta veha shtara. Sounds real good. He says, I bought it from you and here's the shtar. Right, this doesn't even, we don't even start mentioning anything about chazokis, unlike many of the previous cases. Amale. So the challenger, original owner, says, shtora zaifahu. Literally translated, where this is a forged document. The Rashbam, on the other hand, presents two opinions in explaining this particular sugya. It's only in the second opinion that you find in the Rashbam, and it's noted in our markings, you'll see a Roman 1 and a 2 in the Rashbam commentary. There he says that pshat, the literal pshat, that this is a forged document. In the first comment, the first explanation he offers, which he prefers, he says it's not really a shtar mezuyaf, but it's like a shtar mezuyaf. In what sense? The shtar that you're holding was written, but not written on this actual sale. It was a shtar that was written in anticipation of a sale, called a shtar amona, where people will prepare documents in anticipation of something happening, even though the event didn't actually happen. And when the event happens, so then the document is available. But as far as the writing of the shtar and the signing of the document, it was not signed on an actual event. So if we can see that together, if we learn the Rashbam on the inside of the upper part of the page, ein in shtora zaifahu. Actually, at this point, before we read the Rashbam inside, let's continue a little further in the Gemara and then we'll come back to our explanation. So the challenger in the meantime said, oh, the document you're holding, that's a forgery. Gochin lochish le l'rabo. The Baal Hashtar, the possessor, the occupier, whose strength is the shtar he's holding, he says to Rabba, he bends over and whispers to Rabba, in shtora zaifahu. Yeah, it's a questionable document. It's not really a super kosher document. Miu shtora ma'alya haveli. I once had a kosher document. V'irkis, I lost it. V'amino, and I figured like this. Inkit hai biodoi kolduhu. I'll take this. I'll grab this. At least I have something. We said before that the interpretation of shtar zaifa is itself questionable. Two pshatim in the Rashbam. We'll take a look now at the Rashbam toward the top of the page. In shtar zaifahu pirush Rabbeinu Chananel. Lav shtora zaifa mamish. It's not an actual forgery. Ela kemo shtora zaifa. Shalom nichtav al-mechira zu. It wasn't written on this actual transaction. Umayni, what do we mean? What are we talking about? Shtar amona. Amona is a word from omein, or trust, where people prepare a document before an actual event takes place, trusting that the other one won't press claims with it until the actual event takes place. But in the meantime, nothing has taken place. It's a shtar amona. Dehu botel. They're not acceptable. We don't like that. The law, the halacha, doesn't recognize those kind of shtaros as being acceptable. Miu. Ilav di oidi betanose de tovea de shtora zaifahu. If the occupier would not have conceded by saying, yeah, it's a shtar zayifa. Lav kol kamine, the challenger would not have had any strength, would not have been able to challenge the truthfulness, the kashrus of the document. Shareho edim makirim chasimas yadehem. As far as the signatories are concerned, they are real witnesses. The people who signed it weren't some fellows hired from the mob to forge signatures. They are actual signatories. Umishum hachi omar rabo, and that's why Rabo, in the coming lines of which we haven't learned yet, but he'll say that the occupier will in fact be able to maintain possession of the land. And that's why Rabo says, Ma lo l'shaker v'lo mashtoro ma'alya haveli v'irkis. He wouldn't have had to lie and say, I once had a good shtar and it got lost. Lemo, he could have said, Hi, shtar lav zayfahu, the avi boy, the kumi mekainle. He could have said, this is not a forgery. You're saying it's a forgery. You're challenging me. I tell you it's not a forgery. And he would have been able to successfully sustain his claim that it's not a forgery. Okay, that having been said, we go back to the Gemara. Where are we holding? There's someone challenging the current owner, the current possessor of the land, by saying you've got a document that's forged, a questionable document. Fellow says back, he says to Rabbah quietly, he says, yeah, it's really not a totally kosher document, but I had a kosher document and it got lost. The Gemara continues on my Rabbah. Malo l'shaker. Why should this guy lie when he says, I had a kosher document but simply got lost? He's telling us the truth. Why? Because Iboy Omar, he could have said something stronger. He could have said something that wouldn't have been able to be retaliated or rebuffed. What's that? He could have said, Shtora Ma'al Yahu. This document is a kosher document, is a full-fledged document. What are you telling me it's forged? So as far as Rab is concerned, he favors the occupier. Omar le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef disagrees. Ah, my samchis. The word ah, my, it should not be confused with the same lettering with many other words that we would read as amai, but rather we're reading it for effect. We're reading it ah, my. On what? On what? Kos samchis. On what is the occupier relying? When he is holding claim to the land, when he's claiming ownership, what's his claim based on? A high shtara, on this particular shtar. He's saying, look, this is the shtar. Then he's giving us a little story that goes behind it, but his main claim is the shtar. High shtara chaspa b'yamahu. This shtar, this particular shtar is a shard, is worthless. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. A few lines down from here. Amai kosamchis, ahai shtora. Deho shnei chazok aleko. We don't see any evidence of his being there for chazoka years. Dehai shtora chaspo b'yamahu. Dekevan diodi. Once he admitted that, the fellow himself admitted it's not a real shtar. Velo domi l'sha'ar mali l'shakir shebegemora. This is not similar to other events where a person is believed with what he's saying because he had a stronger claim that he could have said. What's different here? Sheba Gemora, sorry, these are Mali the Shaker, we said Sheba Gemora, Sheshtei Tainos Yecholos Lios Emes. In other cases of Malu the Shaker that you find in the Gemara, the two claims that the fellow was making could be true. Oisoi shuhu toyein, the one he's claiming now, the oisoi shu oyo yocholit on volotan. And the other claim that he could have made and didn't, the amrinan, we say, migu, since. Migu is a word that captures the idea, one word that captures the entire idea, namely, believe him with his weaker claim, since, migu, since he could have issued a stronger claim. Abulhocha, this case that we're discussing with the challenged document, the forged document, this case, domi, is like a different case you find in the Shas. Lema lo l'shaker b'mokoyim edim. When he's issuing a claim, but the claim itself runs up against testimony that counters his claim. The occupier's strength is what? Al yedei hai shtarhu. It's through this particular document. Veheich nomar. How could we say ma lo l'shakir b'shtar ze iboy omar shtora ma'al yehu? Why should you think that he's lying about this shtar? Because he could have said that it's a shtar ma'al yeh. But analyze that. That he could have said it's a shtar ma'al yeh. V'halo meide shehashtar posel. But he is admitting that it's posel. The hoidos baldin, the confession of the litigant, kemeo edim, is like 100 witnesses. So we said that you can't say amigu b'mokum edim. Where do you have edim in this case? He himself is the aid. His confession that it's a shtar posel is like 100 witnesses saying it's posel. The ilubo shnei edim shamru shu posel. If two witnesses would have actually come in and said it's puzzle, lekosu, there is no longer malo l'shakir. There is no longer this idea of believe him because he could have said, think about that. He could have said what? He could have said it's a kosher document, but that claim is countered by full-fledged testimony. In this case, hoyduas baldin, the confession of the baldin, kameo edim gomi. That's Rav Yosef's approach. Another case. Ahud Yomar Leil Chavrei. Hav li mea zuzi demasikna boch v'hosh Torah. Give me the hundred zuz demasikna boch that I'm laying claim to, that I'm collecting from you because I loaned you money once. And this is the shtar. Omar Lei, the borrower, says back, shtora zaifahu. But you're trying to claim the 100 zuz because he loaned money with this shtar, but this shtar is worthless. Gochin lochish le l'rabo. The lender says to Rabo in shtora zaifahu, yeah, it really is not a truly kosher shtar. Miu shtora mal yahaveli. I once had a kosher shtar, v'irkis, and I lost it, v'amino. In Kidhai Biyadai Koldu. I'll use this to collect the money that I'm really owed. Omar Rabo. Once again, as we saw before, Ma lo l'shaker. Why should you think that he is not telling the truth? E boy Omar le, he could have said, Shtora Malyahu, that this very same document is a kosher document. And he would have been successful in collecting his money with it. Omar le Rav Yosef. Ah, my kosamchis, what's this guy relying on when he's trying to collect? Hai shtora, chaspo b'yamahu. This document is a shard, it's not worth anything. Two cases, they were represented by the two diamonds, we call them Aleph and Beis. In both cases, you have a machlokes, Rabo and Rav Yosef. Omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin, hilchiso kavose de Rabo be'aro. We're going to paskin like Rabo and believe the one holding the document. The case there involves someone holding a piece of land with a document of sale entitling the buyer to hold the land. And we're going to paskin like Rabo that we let the guy remain on the land. Again, remain on the land. The Hilchaso Kavosei de Rav Yosef Bezuzi. And we're going to paskin like Rav Yosef in the case of the zuz. Namely, we're not going to let the lender collect his money. We're going to say that the money will remain in the hands of the so-called borrower. The Gemara explains, Hilchaso kavosei, hilchaso kirabo be'aro, dehecho dekaimo aro tekum, that where the land is, it shall remain. We don't want to change status quo. Where it is, it remains. If it's in the hands of this fellow, of the occupier, just keep it there. And similarly, we're paskin like Rav Yosef regarding the loan Where the money is, it shall remain. So you see a consistency in the psak, even though this is an outgrowth of controversy, but yet the idea is when you have something like this, this type of challenge as we saw above, we're interested in maintaining the status quo, keep things in their current state. Don't change the status. Notice in the markings what we've done. Besides circling Rav Idi Bar Oven, circling of his name, we'll see he actually appears later on the Omid again. And we've also used a broken underline highlighting the words Aro and Zuzi. The reason for that is that those were the cases. It's a reference to the cases that we had seen before. Continuing in the Gemara, the topic about to be learned is introduced on the side with the note no say. Reading the note, Orev, a guarantor of a loan, Shetoivea Hechzer, apparently our Orev was collected from. In other words, the borrower didn't make it good on the loan, and the lender turned to the guarantor. The guarantor now wants compensation from the borrower. So he wants his hechzer, he wants his return, mehalove. The oisoi loive, the borrower, toein, he claims back shekvar poro. I paid you already. The orev toein bechazora, and the guarantor counterclaims shehaloive lova oid pam. But you paid back. But that was for the first loan. What about the second loan? Hahu arva, the Aramaic for orev, guarantor. Di omar le laloive, havli me'al zuzi, de parati lamalve iluvoch vehosh tora. Pay me the 100 zuz that I paid to the lender for you, and here's the shtar. Here's the shtar indicating that. There was a original loan document that the Love presented to the Malve, saying, I owe you money. When the Malve received payment from the Orev, the guarantor, the lender gave the shtar entitling collection of money, gave the shtar to the guarantor so that he could collect what's now duly owed him. The Gemara continues, Omar Le, the borrower says to the guarantor, La poratich, didn't I pay you already? Omar Le, the guarantor says back, Lav Hadris Shaklisinu Minoi, but didn't you take that money again from me because you needed to buy something else? So the money that you paid back, nevertheless, you reborrowed that money. So you still owe me. Shocha Rav Idi Bar Oven Lekame de Abaye, Ki Hai Gav No Mai. In this type of case, what should the ruling be? Sholach le Abaye, my tiboyele. What's the question? Ha ihu di Omar. He himself, namely Rav Idi Bar Oven himself, said, Hilchasa kavose de Rabba be'ara, the Hilchasa kavose de Rav Yosef bezuzi. As we saw all this above under Rav Idi's psak, where his name had been circled earlier. And what was the ruling? What was the basis of the ruling? He said, "Dehecha de ukmi zuzi, lukmu, that don't change the status. Where the money is, let it remain." If that be the case, so then we would have expected Rav Idi to say the same thing here. We have a matter of doubt. We have a controversy. no side is absolutely stronger than the other. So leave things in their current state. And as a result of that, the borrower would not have to pay to the Orev. Vehani mili di Omar le, this is true where the Orev said, Hadris ozavtinu minoi, you re-borrowed the money from me. Aval Omar le, Hadrisinu nihaloch, Machmas dahavu shayfi vesumki. If the Orev would have said, you paid me back the money, but I gave the money back to you because the money was no good. It was bad money. It was shayfi, it was like rubbed out, or sumki, literally red, or corroded. Was worthless. The money gave me was worthless. If that is what the Orev would have said, Akati ise l'shibuda d'shtora, the original document strength, shibud literally is a lien, but the original document strength was still intact. And under those circumstances, the Orev would have been able to collect. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. Toward the bottom of the page, there's an abbreviated Hey Mem Vahani Mili De Amrinon. Under what circumstances are we saying Heicho De Kaim Mizuzi Tekum For Lo Mechayev Lo V'Lefrole Orev? When is it that we would say the money remains where it does and the borrower does not have to compensate the Orev? Heicho De Toin Orev Kiri Omar Liel Di Omar Poratinu Aval Hodar Yazavtinu Minoi. That's if the Orev said, true, you did pay back, however, you re-borrowed a new loan from me. Why is it that the borrower would not have to pay back? The Orev Gufei Moida, the Orev himself is conceding Shehashtar Shebiyodoi Nimchal Shibudo, that the shtar that he's trying to claim with itself has lost its power. That's the expression, nimchal shibudo, that its lien is no longer valid. Because as far as the loan that the shtar represented, it was already paid back by the Orev's own admission. Aval, the Rashbam goes on, itoyin Orev. If the Orev would say, ani hechzarti loch oisom mois, atzmon mishum dahavu shayfi, nishuv tsurasan, the money that you gave me, I gave back to you, not as a new loan, but rather because the money itself was rubbed out. That's nishuv tsurasan, the form, the imprimatur on the coin was rubbed out. Falohoyu yoitzin boitza, it would not have been able to be used for purchases. Kamo, the expression nishuv is found elsewhere, hashof matbea shachavero, it's found in Bava Kama, one who rubs out the imprimatur on a coin belonging to his friend. So as we said, under such circumstances, the original strength of the document remains intact, and it's as if the Orev would have been saying, you never paid me back. Continuing in the Gemara. Rova bar Sharshu. Nofak alei kola. De ka'ochil ara di yasmi. Word went out that he is consuming lands belonging to Yosaimen. Not a very pleasant thing to hear. After that call going out, Abaye turns and asks him, what exactly happened? Omar le Abaye, Emoli Izi, Gufo diuvdo, Heichi havu. What actually happened? To hear the answer to this, we will have to wait for the shiur next time. At this point, we'll conclude our shiur for today.